long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. They give us strength.
And welcome, everyone, to Sunday Morning with Robin Wolder, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. Hey, today we are going to cover a very timely topic. I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish it. It could be a two-parter. But it's timely, given everything that's going on in the area of immigration. And what does the Bible say about immigration, about aliens? About illegals. Does it say anything about illegals? And keep in mind what we have first and foremost in this country, obviously, is our Constitution. But what brought this to my mind was this last week, I was in a church, and a prayer request that went up praying for all the immigrants. And the pastor went ahead and prayed for the immigrants. Well, it was obviously for illegals. It wasn't for legal immigrants. Legal immigrants have never needed particular prayer, right? I mean, there's not been an issue with legal immigrants, and there still isn't. The issue is with illegals. So the prayer was for all the people that are here illegally. And it bothered me, and the pastor just kind of went along with it. Whatever. It troubled me. I thought, okay, it's time for some education, but not before we pray. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word today, particularly your word which brings forth truth, because your word is truth. It's up to us to seek it out diligently, and we will find it. That's what your word says. To seek you diligently, we will find you, and you are it. It is the word. John 1:1, we know that passage. And so, Father, make this word known even clearer to me as I deliver it. Let it be complete, nothing of me, and nothing less than what is of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I remember a few years back that, I don't know how many years back, but anyway, the Congress, it was a Democrat Congress, just telling you that, their approach was to simply call, and this is the approach in California and some other states. I love the Babylon Bee piece. I got to tell you, I loved it where they said that Gavin Newsom feels that he's duty-bound to protect all the illegal immigrants who voted for him. Pretty funny. But satire combined with sarcasm is a biting wit, and they know how to do it. But the answer was, we're just going to quit calling them illegal. We'll just call them immigrants. We'll just call them legal. Voila, problem taken care of. It's all gone away. How easy was that? And it reminded me of a time, and I'm going back some period of time, maybe 20 years or so, and I had a prospective client who I met with because he was thinking that maybe he needed, he's long deceased, so I'm okay talking about it. He determined that he needed to have some professional help and somebody to manage his affairs and watch over his assets, both financial and personal assets, around the house. And the reason being was that he had a housekeeper that he employed, and he was convinced that the housekeeper, who he said was really good at cleaning, was also apparently really good at cleaning him out, i.e. she was stealing from him. And I said, well, we can certainly do that. So I made the arrangements, got everything done, and he came in. And there was a woman who accompanied him when he came in to meet, but she remained outside my office. And I assume that this was the woman, and I'm also assuming she was his driver, and I was correct. It was his driver. So we sat down and he said, you know, I'm going to keep this meeting, but I didn't really need to. I said, well, why is that? He said, because I solved the problem with my maid, if you will, my housekeeper, stealing from me. I said, well, how did you do that? He said, I married her, and now she's not stealing anymore. She's my wife. And I was just sort of dumbfounded. Okay, that was all meant to say, that's my analogy to, let's just quit calling them illegal. Let's just call them legal. Let's just call them immigrants. Well, I'm going to go through a bunch of scriptures today, and I've got this gut sense. I'm not going to finish this topic, but if I don't, it's because it's too important to try to ram, slam, cram, and jam into the 26 minutes. Go to a book that you probably seldom read called Obadiah. Yes, Obadiah. And what chapter would you like me to turn to? What chapter should I turn to? Well, it doesn't matter. There aren't any chapters. There's just one. So it's not Obadiah 1. It's Obadiah 11. But it's verse 11, not chapter 11, that I'm going to start reading. And it says that in the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even you were one of them. Now what Obadiah is doing here, he is calling out the Edomites for not protecting Jerusalem from invaders, people who have come in. He said, but you should not have looked on that day of thy brother, because there's a relationship between the Edomites and the Israelites. Goes back to Lot. But anyway, you should not have looked on your brother in that day that he became a stranger to you. Neither should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. And so what he is saying here is, you had an obligation, cousins, if you will, relatives here, to protect Jerusalem, your brother, from invaders. Those who've come in to just basically plunder. They have no right nor lot with Jerusalem. They did not belong there. And you did nothing to keep them out. This is not their property. It belongs to the Israelites. And you didn't do jack to keep them out. I find that really pretty interesting. So, let me jump to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was ordered by God to build a wall. And why did he build the wall? It is very clear from Scripture. It was to ensure that the interests, the values, and the religion of the Hebrews was preserved from outside influence. And from cultic groups to Islamic groups to cartels, to you name it, that have crossed the southern border and to some extent the northern border without any effort to stop the virtual invasion of this country, can only mean that those who had been in power for the last 4 years and maybe with the administration of Barack Obama, I'm certain, really have no interest in protecting the interests and the values and the religion, the faith, the fundamental Christian faith of America upon which it was founded. Because after all, there was a call for fundamental transformation begun under Barack Obama, certainly accelerated through Joe Biden by letting in whatever, 15, 18 million illegals, none of whom share our values and are draining our system, of which we all as taxpayers pay. You say, well, this is political. Well, I'm sorry, it's biblical. Because I'm not even close to being done with this topic. And we'll get to the issue of foreigners who are here legally and some distinctions that Scripture makes. But are borders important? How would you like to take a guess? Or would you like to take a guess how many times borders show up in Scripture? Now, if they show up a lot, we could conclude that borders are important. And if they don't show up at all, we guess we could conclude that they're unimportant. Well, there are 197 references to borders in Scripture. Now, some of those, I will tell you, very few of them, you know, I don't know, maybe a dozen or so, refer to the borders of a garment of the priests, what they wore on the borders, the bells and things of that sort from the Old Testament. But the great overwhelming majority of the references are to physical national borders or borders between, if you will, just kind of a division of the tribes of Israel. They had borders that encompassed the whole country. They had divisions within the country, sort of like we have states, as to what territory, very well described in Scripture, I might add, a meets and bounds description, as we would say in the law, as to which tribe was to be assigned to what particular area. So if God has borders inserted into Scripture this many times, why would we think that they're not relevant if God considers them important? Borders would be irrelevant if they didn't define where certain people have a right to be and others don't have a right to be. This argument that no one is illegal is sort of like saying nobody's a burglar. If they break into the country, what difference is that? They're not illegal. What if they break into your house? It's another area that they don't have a right to be in. So, I guess, is burglary legal? Let's say it's just breaking and entering. They don't take anything. Illegal. Sorry, it's a felony. In most states. So, this concept of open borders is absolutely absurd. If it's open, it's not a border. And if it's a border, it's not open. That doesn't mean that every country has walls and fences covering all of it. Some of it has been unnecessary. There are places where there maybe is not distinct borders between Canada and the U.S. because Canadian invasion has never been a concern, at least not since, the War of 1812, actually. That's how far you'd have to go back. So in Psalm 74, here's the next one you can write down. In Psalm 74, it says thus. Well, I just lost my page. I should have had it. I should have these typed out or something like that. But I don't always do that because I'm short on time. And so I have to just kind of yammer here while I find my way to Psalm 74. So it says here, the Lord has set all the borders of the earth. The borders of the earth. Now, some of that refers to the border of where the sea meets the land. I get that. But other passages, which I'm not going to go through every passage because I've got about 181 of them I could call upon, make it clear that the countries are where they are because they are ordained of God to be there. And He has established those countries. The borders aren't necessarily listed for what defines Lithuania, of course. But He does say that the borders of these countries are established. He sets them up. Now you might say, well, is God then reestablishing the borders of the United States? Well, you know, we had our manifest destiny. which, you know what? I just got a plug from the Holy Spirit not to go down that path. I'm moving away from Scripture, if you will. So let's go to the next one, which is Numbers 34. Numbers 34, and I'm going to start right with verse 1. And consider this. This is the specificity, if you will, if I could use that word, that God has used in establishing borders. He said, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall unto you for an inheritance, even the land of Canaan with the coasts thereof." And now God begins to set apart a specific land of specific borders with, like I said, a meets and bounds description. He said, "Your south quarter shall be from the wilderness of Zin along the coast of Edom." There's those Edomites again. But the coast of Edom doesn't include Edom. Edom is going to kind of eat its own lunch, or at least eat it twice, later in Scripture, because they were not nice to the Israelites, but God told the Israelites to respect their territory. And so he said, "From the wilderness of Zin along the coast of Edom," not into it, "and your south border shall be the outmost coast of the Salton Sea eastward. Your border shall turn from the south to the ascent of Akrabim and pass on to Zin. And this going forth thereof shall be from the south to Kadesh Barnea, and shall go on to Hazaradan, and pass on to Asmon. And the border shall fetch a compass," so my meets and bounds, "from Asmon unto the river of Egypt, and the goings out of it shall be at the sea. And as for the western border, you shall have even the great sea for a border. This shall be your western border. And this shall be your northern border. From the great sea you shall point out for you Mount Hor. From Mount Hor ye shall point out your border unto the entrance of Hamath. And the goings forth of the border shall be to Zedad. And the border shall go on to Ziphron. And the goings out of it shall be at Hazarenan. This shall be your north border. And ye shall point out your east border from Hazarenan to Shepham, and the coast shall go down from Shepham to Riblah on the east side of Elon, and the border shall descend and shall reach unto the side of the sea of Chinnereth eastward, and the border shall go down to Jordan, and the goings out of it shall be at the Salt Sea. This shall be your land with the coasts thereof round about." This is 12 verses of the most specific meets and bounds description that identifies a specific border given to Israel. Now, and Scripture is clear that other countries have their borders established by God. He just says, "I've established the borders of the nations." He doesn't go into this meets and bounds and say, "And starting from the northeastern point of which you will ultimately call Maine, and going forth along the X River, and then till you get to the Great Lakes, and then what?" No, it doesn't do that. But he's established this country. And we have borders, and the borders are important. This is not haphazard. When they talk about, the Palestinians talk about from the river to the sea, what I say is, yeah, you're right. That's what belongs to Israel. So keep your mitts off. You don't get to invade that land. It's not yours. Do you know, there are four times in Scripture that I can think of, there might be more than four, but they're all really in Proverbs, as far as I can think, where a person is commanded to not remove a landmark. In other words, so a person's property goes down a path of something, maybe it goes along a river, then it cuts inland, and then at the point of the great big old rock, that's got a heart and kissy face on it with a couple of lovebirds. And from there, it goes northeast, 138 feet from there. It says, don't remove these landmarks. In this case, the rock. Because when you remove the landmark, you have taken it under your own authority and by your own initiative to steal somebody else's land by changing a landmark, changing a boundary. This is something just popped in my head. We got the Ukraine-Soviet war, right? The Russian-Ukraine war. But if you go back a few years, there was something that would happen in the Ukraine. There is a fence that runs east to west, more or less, kind of undulating between Ukraine and Russia. And there were times when people would wake up in the morning and find that the fence that was north of them, because they were Ukrainians, was now south of them. The fence was moved by the Russians in the middle of the night. And they'd wake up, arguably living in Russia, but they went to sleep living in Ukraine because they changed the landmark. They moved the boundaries. It's a theft of land. Well, interestingly, in Numbers 20, if you're in Numbers 33, where I just read, you go back just a few chapters, you will see, we were talking about the Edomites a minute ago, that Edom was related to Israel, but they weren't friends. It's like cousins who kind of fight, I guess. But in Numbers 20, verses 17 through 21, interesting passages, it says that Moses, coming through on the way to Canaan, wanted the quicker, shorter route was to pass through Edom, land that was not theirs. And then you remember, I just read a few minutes ago that the boundaries of Israel went along the coast of Edom. It did not include Edom. They had their own boundary. But Moses wanted to be able to pass through Edom as a shortcut. I get it. Done it all the time as a kid, cross somebody's yard as a shortcut. It's not my land, but that didn't seem to occur to me at 10 or 12 years old that I couldn't walk on somebody else's land if it wasn't fenced or didn't have a sign that said, keep out. Plus, I was in a small town. We didn't care about that stuff, nor did the landowners. I mean, I didn't care, of course, but neither did the landowners. He said, starting in 17, Moses says, let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We'll not pass through the fields. We won't pass through the vineyards. Neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand or to the left until we have passed your border. And Edom said to him, you shall not pass by me, lest I come out against you with swords. Edom saying, hey, this is our land. We got a right to defend it. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, just go through on my feet. And he said, Edom, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. And Edom thus refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore Israel turned away from him. And God made it clear that they weren't to trespass on Edom's land. And he actually kind of inflamed Edom, if you will, to not let Israel pass through that land. It wasn't going to be their land. They were trespassing. Now, were these cousins inhospitable to each other? Well, I mean, especially the Edomites. Yes, we just read that a few minutes ago. And the Edomites get it in the end. God ultimately judges them for their inhospitable attitude. But nonetheless, and this is the point, that God respected the borders that were even unreasonably controlled. So the conclusion here, and I am not going to make it through all this stuff, I'm getting downloads, I feel like, from the Holy Spirit here on some things to say, that the conclusion is that God recognizes the sovereignty, he recognizes the borders of nations, and why does he honor them and recognize them? Because he was the one who raised up the nations, because he was the one that established the borders. And, you know, we have borders in our life. We have borders in our homes. So much so that it says in, Luke, he told the disciples to take a sword. That was for self-defense, but it says in the Old Testament, if somebody breaks into your house at night, they've broken through a border. They're illegal. They don't have a right to be there. And what do you do? Or I should say, what can you do? It's dark. You got somebody in your house. You don't know what they're there for. We actually talked about this last week, dealing with the issue of gun ownership. You have a right to kill them. Now, if it's daylight and you find out it's a 12-year-old kid that's in your house and he's trying to walk off with a video game set, you don't get to shoot him. No, you don't. Now you're in jail. At night, that's nefarious. You don't know who it is, what their goal is. They could have a knife, they could have a gun, and you have the right to kill them. And why? Why? Because you have a private barrier that's been established. Another party does not have the right to be there. If you have rented a room in a motel, you have a right to have a border that protects you. I will never forget the night that worst trip we have ever taken to the Bahamas. Disaster. Every single bit of it. And I wake up one night because I hear the key, the lock being rattled on a room. And I don't think it was somebody with a, could have been somebody drunk who had a key to the room from, they kept it. I don't know. But the door opened up and in came a man. I don't have anything to defend myself. Well, he started to come in and I went, in the deepest, loudest voice I could possibly say, I went, "Hey, who are you?" I mean, I'm sorry, I'm trying to not get too carried away with the point here. And the guy skedaddled. And I went up there, and I think I had a chain lock, and I think at that point it was, okay, it's time to put the chain lock on. I had the room for the night. But I rented it, I had a right to it, and I had the right to protect the border to my room. The border to your property with a fence, the border to your house, the borders along the north and the south side of this country, the borders on the east and the west coast. Why do you think we have a Coast Guard? Yeah, it's there to help ships that are failing and sailors that got goofy and went out an hour before an unknown thunderstorm was supposed to hit. But it's there as part of the military. You know, we list the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force. And what's the fifth one listed? The Coast Guard. It's because we have borders. God has given them to us. We have the right to protect them against people who do not have a right to be there or to come in for whatever reason. Well, I almost got halfway. Don't miss next week. Because there's a lot more to be said about this. And there's some things we need to deal with that deals with foreigners and or strangers that are actually here legitimately. So you need to hear that. But it's time for this kind of word to be taught. And please listen to this word as well.
Sunday Morning with Robin Walter is a listener-supported program. Our mission is to prepare the saints not to just survive, but thrive in the end times through preparation, warning, instruction, and encouragement. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for tuning in. Please don't miss next week for part two. I promise I will finish the topic. God bless you. See you next week.